Hi, I'm Ken Carroll. These recordings are provided by ChinesePod.com.
This is a Learning 2.08 conference podcast. This and all conference conversations recorded live in September 2008.
So, what the reason you're here today
is to sort of try to deal with, I'm going to give you some tools to help deal with the loads of information that we're facing. And that's been a common theme, like in a lot of the presentations. Like I learned from David Warlick yesterday that in 2002, 5 exabytes of information were created in that year alone. Only 1% of that information was printed, right? So those of you who were there, you know what I'm talking about. But so much information comes at your students and comes at you every day, and me, and which is the reason why I taught myself how to do this, that I wanted to try to find a way to help organize it all and help deal with it. So what I've done is I've taken to wading through the information landscape using RSS. And RSS is a little tool that uses what RSS stands for is really simple syndication. Okay? And that means, sorry about this. What that really means is that just the way newspapers like would use syndicated content, like by Reuters or the Associated Press, they have people embedded all out over the world. These guys write news stories, and then certain places subscribe to that syndication. They buy the story from Reuters, they buy the story from Associated Press, so on and so forth, and then they put it in their newspaper, right? So it's a similar kind of approach, but it's with web content in mind. So RSS is this set of protocols to follow so that when anything is published on the internet, if it's following the RSS model, it will send out, you can see that, right? Goody. It will send out a feed and let something know that something's been published so that you don't have to go back to your favorite website day in, day out to see what's new. The feed is sent to you when something's new, and you can decide like how to deal with that. So today I'm really going to focus on a few tools. Now the first thing that I think about here is why bother doing this? Well, the real reason we're bothering doing this is because, as you're going to see in a second, as we play a game, lots of us have lots of things going on. So here's the game. After lunch, you've got a tendency maybe to fall asleep. But what I'm going to ask you to do is we're going to play a little game of stand up, sit down, okay? Which means you're not going to be able to type for a little bit, okay? So if you can answer yes to the question that I show you, I'd like you to stand up, okay? If you can answer yes to the next question, just stay standing, right? If your answer is no, you sit down, okay? Everybody ready to play? You can say yes. All right, there we go. Hey, brilliant. Okay, so how many of you are teachers? Oh, wow. Okay, many. How many of you are tech people? In whatever way you think of that. How many of you use a social network? Like Facebook or something, or Friendster? How many of you have a laptop? See, this is fun, isn't it? We're getting our exercise. How many of you read blogs? How many of you are going to read blogs after this conference? It's been a big theme. How many of you consume news? Newspaper, television. How many of you have a hobby? Wow, everybody's standing. How many of you like to read? Like, for pleasure?
I forgot.
I like to, but I don't have time. Right? How many of you need me time just for yourself, away from everything else? Good for you. I'm way up there with you. How many of you exercise? I better sit down for this one. You can tell by looking at me. I got winded coming up 4 flights of stairs. How many of you have a partner? All right, let's see. How many of you have a pet? How many of you are parents? A lot of up and down here, isn't it? How many of you are busy? Okay, right, so this is my point, okay? Typically, when you get together with international teachers, and I know it's the same at my school, you can sit down now, thanks for playing. Typically, when you get together with international teachers, and I know this is true, especially at my school, when I try to say, hey, let's try and use a blog, what's the response? Man, I am so busy. I cannot do one more thing on top of what I'm already doing, right? So we've got to figure out some way that we can wade through all of this information that comes at us, okay? If it was 5 exabytes, who the hell knows what an exabyte is, but if it was 5 exabytes in 2002, how many is it today? And how many is it going to be next year, right? And how are we going to deal with all of that? And this is one of the biggest things that kind of face me, and I know it's there. It's like, you can't ask me as teacher to do one more thing because I just can't handle it. If I start blogging, my head said this to me. I had lunch with him one day, and I'm like, you know, the head at IS Bangkok, is anybody here from Bangkok? The head at IS Bangkok writes a blog, right? And it's a pretty good blog, I guess, you know, as far as blogs from heads of school go. And I said, you know, have you seen this? Have you thought about communicating this way instead of writing a Monday minute, which he writes and sends out, and a Friday focus, which he writes and sends out? But it's all one-way communication. I'm like, why don't you think about blogging? Guess what he said? Well, I'm too busy because I'll have to get I'll get replies to my blog, maybe, and then I'll have to read them, right? So it's like, how do you deal with all of that? And the one thing that I want to say is, just because the information's out there doesn't mean that it's all relevant to you, and it doesn't mean that you're going to be missing out and some big loser if you don't read it, right? So the whole point is, we've got to try to figure out a way to wade through all of this information and how we're going to actually deal with it. So today, this is a link to where my handout resides, and I haven't put it on the site yet, but if someone's taking notes for this, I don't know. I'm not like a high-paid guy, so I don't know if anyone wants to take notes, but if you're putting notes on the Ning site as they talk about, you could somebody put this there so that we can all access the handout? So after you walk out of here and you forget 90% of what I've done, or I'm going too fast and you just can't, you know, you can't figure it out, go to the handout and it'll help you with all the nuts and bolts. But I want to, more than anything, sort of talk about philosophy as well and why we use this, not just the tools, okay? All right. So the tools that we're going to learn about today are iGoogle. How many people know about iGoogle already? Have accounts? Well, that's why you're here, isn't it? No one's raising their hand. Perfect. This little icon is something you'll want to recognize. This is the RSS icon. And you've seen it around. Maybe you didn't know what it was. But this tells you that this content on this page is syndicated, right? Using the process I was talking about earlier. So that you can subscribe to it in iGoogle. I'm going to talk a little bit about Wikispaces. I'm not going to tell you about how to use it, but I'm going to show you how all this stuff, how I manage my news and links for my students, and Wikispaces is kind of the endpoint. And lastly, there's this tool called Digo. How many of you have a Digo account right now? Excellent. Do you want to like teach us about it?
I actually wrote your note and made it just 10 minutes ago.
Cool. Well, Digo is a very cool tool. I mean, these are all good, but Digo's kind of interesting because it's just kind of finding its legs. How many of you know Delicious? Okay.
I used to use Delicious, and I gave this presentation in Irkutsk in KL last spring, and I taught people how to use Delicious then. Now I'm teaching you how to use Digo because I've abandoned Delicious, and I've made the jump. So we're going to take a look at what that does. All right, so let's start with this first process, staying on top of the news. How do I wade through the news? I'm a father of twin boys who are two. I've got a wife who needs attention. I have fish. I have a daughter who's six. And like I said, the only time I get to read for me is one book in the summer, right? That's it. So I'm like stretched, you know? So how can I possibly stay current and not go fall into the trap of teaching the same stuff that I've always done to my science students, right? How do I find the new stuff that's happening in the environment, and how do I roll that out to them? Now, if you can't read this page, it's on purpose, right? Don't worry, but it's what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna be putting some big blotches on here to kind of highlight things. So, this is what I use to help me stay on top of my news. It's called iGoogle, all right? And you can find it by Googling it, right? And the iGoogle account is kind of like a customizable page that you can populate with things that Google calls gadgets, okay? Gadgets are produced by people like CNN. CNN makes gadgets for all of its different kinds of news. There's a world news gadget, there's a US news gadget, there's a political news gadget, right? And these are just these little boxes that you can kind of see populated all over my page, right? This page happens to be looking at Macworld, Wired, TechDirt, Extreme Tech, right? Those are the ones that I'm kind of following. But beyond that, you can make your own gadgets, okay? You can make gadgets for any story that has content that has that little orange RSS symbol. And you can follow that yourself, customized for you. And I'll talk a bit about that. So, when you sign up for iGoogle, what happens is you have to populate it with stuff. It'll say, all right, do you want me to add things automatically or do you want to start with a blank page? It's up to you, depending on like how you like your content, but it might be a good idea just to see what they give you, right? They'll put gadgets on your page, and to get rid of them, all you have to do is click the little X in the corner of the gadget, and it goes away, right? So what you do is all you do is you click on Add Stuff. And when you click on Add Stuff, which is located in the top right corner of the page, what you do is it takes you to this place. And you can look for gadgets, right? Here's the CNN one. Here's E! Online, Top Stories, Google News, Weather, all of that stuff. Okay? Sorry. Now, if you're there and you don't, you know, you want to kind of go beyond what you're seeing on these pages, because there's, like, talk about infowhelm, right? There's pages and pages of gadgets. It's got a little search. So you can type in search terms, like I search for science education gadgets, and it returned some for me. Here's one called Tech Learning, all right? So Tech Learning, somewhere in it, has science education information. And then I just click the button that says Add It Now. And guess what? It appears on my page, okay? So now, anytime the folks out at Tech Learning do something to their page that's on their, you know, that's part of their RSS feed, it appears in my iGoogle, okay? And you'll notice I'm only seeing like the three most recent stories. You can customize that to show like how many stories you desire, right? And how long you want them to hang around and things like that, okay? So then to read those stories, all you do is you just click the link and it'll either open a little pop-up where you can read it or it'll open a new page. And you go to that place and you read the story, okay? Or ignore it, yeah? That's the best part. Don't feel like you have to read everything. Just scan through the headlines, see what's good, if anything, If not, just forget about it. It'll go away. It'll be replaced by new stuff. Okay? Any questions so far? So we're only talking right now about reading the news and how we wade through the information. Yeah?
Just why do you choose iGoogle over NetFind or another?
For me, yeah. For me, it's like simplicity. I use a lot of Google tools, and I just like the user interface and the way it works. There's a lot of other readers that you can use for RSS content. But NetVibes, as far as I know, doesn't have these gadgets, right? These little boxes. So this is more the news for me. I have weather here. I have the Confucius quote of the day. I have the environmental picture of the day from Planet Ark, right? All of this rich media. You can get YouTube videos, right? The YouTube video of the day can come up into your iGoogle. So for me, it's that like ease of use, and you've got a wider sort of net of types of information rather than just printed news, which most RSS readers do, you know? You can get other gadgets.
Are you on Vista?
No, I use this MacBook when I'm working on it. But it's the same. Like, it's browser based, so
I'm shopping.
Yeah.
You know? I just want to hear different things.
Yeah. It doesn't matter really what operating system you use here. Okay, so you might be thinking, well, man, if I get into here tonight and I'm looking through and I'm gonna see like 40 things that I want, how is that helping me, right? It's just, you have a tendency to sort of overdo it maybe. Well, one way that I do it is you can organize all of your gadgets by making tabs. There's a little thing here that you probably can't see, but it says add a tab. If you click that, it'll make a new tab, and you'll see the tabs that I've got. I've got one called Home. That's where I put my weather, just general news, world news stuff, right? It's the first place I go. I've got class wikis. I run, I think, 13 or 14 different wikis. Some are for classes, some are for teachers. And how do I keep track of what goes on at those wikis every day? Are you telling me I have to go out and look at 13 spaces every day to see if someone's like said the F word or something like that, you know? I get it all into my class wikis. I draw the RSS content out of my wikis, and anytime something changes, it appears here. It's my one-stop shop. Okay, next, technology I've got. I've got entertainment, I've got science news, right? So use tabs, organize your content, makes life easier. Okay, now, I just want you to take a minute, digest what I've said. Talk with someone near you about how you think, not you can use this, because that's what I've told you, how I use this, but how could you get students to use this? How could you leverage it if you got every student in your class, day one of class, all right, kids, go to iGoogle, make an account. How do you think you could use that in whatever it is you do in your school? Talk amongst yourselves for a second. So, yeah, that's exactly like how we're using it with students. Like, we found an example where middle school students, like four teachers, were using Google Calendars. And so a kid would have to go to four different Google Calendars. Well, they can subscribe to all the Google Calendars and have all of them come up on their iGoogle page. All the teachers fed into one place. So it's free, and you can do that.
Well, the good thing about it is that if it's web-based, then they're an iGoogle page for themselves, or you're helping them set it up, then that's transferable to different, you know, whatever computer they're on, and they're making those links. Otherwise, you're setting up a toolbar for them in your web browser or whatever,
yeah,
and you have to set up those links, maybe whatever, but they're going to their home, and they can see your whatever you've directed them to. Rather than go to a web page, they're going to their iGoogle. It could be helpful, yeah.
Yeah, it's doing things differently with technology, which is what this is all about, right? It's not about teaching the same way we've always done it, but just with the computer instead of the book, right? So letting them set it up, that lets them have control. Okay, so now I know that there's a little bit of discomfort with the idea of RSS, and the first thing I'm going to tell you is that you don't have to know what it does at all. But for those of you here who like want to think about it a little bit and think about how it works like this. And last year, by the way, one of the best presenters, I think, at this conference last year was Alan November, and he said, RSS is the killer app. He's like, this
is a transformative thing for education because it allows us to deal with information. So here's the deal. A web page that you frequently visit may generate an RSS feed. All that means is that when someone at the place that publishes the page writes content, a file called, which is usually a .xml file, is updated as they edit. Okay? See, eyes glazing over. Don't worry if you don't understand that. But there's a file. Someone's made changes. That little file knows that something was changed. Okay? These files themselves, okay, are what the RSS feed is all about. Okay? You're saying by subscribing to a feed, check this XML file for something new every 5 minutes, or every day, or every 5 days, or every month. It doesn't matter, and it's customizable usually. So what happens then is your reader or aggregator, which in this case we've just talked about a gadget that is in your Google, your iGoogle page, goes out and checks. So anytime something's new, the page is updated, the file is updated, and that flows into your RSS aggregator and appears automatically on your page. You never have to do anything again, okay? So that's the idea behind the engine sort of under the hood of how this whole thing works. So let's take a look at like my workflow. Now you might not want to work this way, but this is kind of how I do it. And by the way, what time are we done? 2:15, super. That's what I was thinking. All right, so you're browsing, right? You're looking around, and I'm an environmental science teacher. Disregard that this comes from The Onion, if you know what that is, but here's something, you know, I found something. Now what do I do with it? McCain's energy plan emphasizes elbow grease and sleeve rolling up. Let's do it. So what do you do when you find something? Well, for me, what I do, okay, as I've maybe found this headline in my iGoogle, I've clicked on it, I've gone to the website, now I read it, now it's something that I think I like, or maybe it's funny, or maybe I just want to show my kids. What I do is I click in this little area of my Firefox toolbar. Now, what's there is a little book with a green plus sign by it, okay? And I know it's small and you can't see it, I was counting on having a big projector, but you take what you get. What that is that's a bookmark button. If I click on it once, this page will automatically save to an account that I've created in Digo. Remember that tool I told you about? Digo, yeah? I click that button, this page gets saved in my bookmarks in Digo. Now, there's more than that. If I click it once, it saves the bookmark and names it. Okay? And nothing else happens. The web page doesn't change. But if I click that same button twice, okay, this little pop-up comes up in front of the article that I'm looking at, and it says, all right, you must want to write something about this page. So you can change the title. You can write a description. I wrote like a message. It says, do you think this will really work? Write a response in the discussion tab of the wiki by Tuesday. Who's that note to? Do you think? That's a note to my students, okay? And then, at the bottom part, I've tagged it. How many of you would like me to talk about tagging? One. How many of you know what tagging is all about? All right. Well, I'm gonna try to just do a little bit of what tagging is, the kind of idea. Because it's an important thing for you to want to find these later. Because you're not building like a linear file cabinet of news here. You're taking a web page and it's going somewhere into your Digo world. And later on, you'll want to find it back, right? How would you do that sort of in a linear file structure? Well, I put it in this folder on this drive, and it's in this subfolder, in that subfolder, in that subfolder, right? Digo doesn't work like that. Digo works based on tags. So you tag it with words that are going to help you remember it. And what words can you use? Any words, okay? The only thing you want to think about with tagging
you might want to establish rules if you're tagging four people, for example. Like if you're teaching on a team together, you might want to establish things that we're tagging for the team, we're going to use like 7F signs, for example. Okay? So you tag it with words, any one of which you might remember. And if you remember that word, you'll find the article later, because you can search by your tags. Make sense? Okay. So my tags here are ISB, ENV, SCI. Guess what that is? That's a class that I teach. Okay. Environmental, energy policy. And notice, when you want two words to be a tag, you put them in quotes. Energy policy, that's one tag. McCain, news, article. Okay, and then down here you can, I won't have time to discuss that, but you can check those out later. Then I press save, and guess what happens next? This box goes away, and I was back to browsing like I was doing before, right? That's the thing I really like about Digo, or Delicious, if for you Delicious users, is like it doesn't interrupt your workflow. Like I'm browsing, I'm reading the news, I don't want to have to go to some other website, type in a bunch of information, then try to come back. This just pops up in front of you. You put some information in, you press save, and it goes away. And you're back to looking at exactly what you had before. Questions?
Jeff, what's that toolbar that you've got?
Okay, that's a great question. Okay, the reason I have that doesn't come standard in Firefox or Explorer or whatever, but you can load this thing called the Digo toolbar. Remember that. This is an important thing to write down. Digo toolbar. Because Digo without the toolbar, you're never going to use it. Okay? Trust me. You won't use it unless you install the toolbar. And the toolbar, you just go to the Digo website. If you haven't created an account yet, the very first thing you'll see is join up and add the Digo toolbar. It's a big green button. I think I've got a little graphic of it later. But the Digo toolbar puts all of this stuff up there, like I used, remember that little book with the green plus sign, you know? That's what allows you to do that. And now, every time you open Firefox, it's just there. It's always there. I use Firefox. They also have it for Explorer, and I think they have it for Opera as well. I don't know anyone who uses Opera, but anyway, any other questions? That was a good question. Yeah?
I might have missed it. Did you talk about where would you put in the tag?
Yeah, I'll go back. It's okay. The tags go right here.
How
I know, it's hard for you.
An
what's that?
If a kid was writing something, or if a kid found something.
Yeah. So the kids are using Digo too.
Oh.
Okay. And they do the same process. If they find an article that they think might be of interest to the class, we use the predetermined tag for the class, which in this case is ISB, ENV, SCI. So this is my look, but it's also their look. And this is a great way to sort of be less busy. Let them do the work of finding the news. And then it all comes to you, right, in Digo. And guess what? You can make a gadget that delivers your new Digo stuff, you know?
Do you do any parent education? Do you sit down with them and say, here's my RSS and here's how you get to it? Are you communicating with parents like that?
Our parents really aren't there. Our parents just aren't there, really. Okay. I could do that, and like what I could do that, but they're not there. They don't get it. So, right or wrong, I just
yeah,
don't.
Maybe it'll filter up on the kids.
That's what I'm hoping. Because this would be a great way to sort of check up on your kids' work. Because I encourage my parents to look at their kids' wikis, right? If I have a wiki in my environmental science class, I tell the parents on parent evening, this is the wiki address. Go here. You can look at it. It's public. Anybody can look and see what your kids are writing about. Because I have them do a lot of collaborative writing, and that's where we post our multimedia projects. It's all there. So, yeah, it's a good point. But as far as them, like, knowing the feed for our site, they're just pretty much not there, I found. It's just our population of parents.
All right, so then to look at your bookmarks, on the far left-hand side of the DIGO toolbar, there's this little button which opens the DIGO sidebar. And here you can see now this article, which I tagged, is at the top of my bookmarks. And it has the headline, and it says it was added 1 minute ago. If I wanted to search for things, not this one, but some other one, up here in this box, I can type tags. One tag, two tag, three tags, whatever. And then I press filter, and it puts in there the most recent to the least recent bookmarks that are tagged with those sets of tags. Okay. So it's really something you're going to have to wrap your head around, tagging if it's new to you. It took me a long time to figure it out. But the best thing is just get in and try it. Okay. All right, bouncy circle. Okay. Now, sharing your bookmarks. Couple things. There's several ways to share your bookmarks. DIGO allows you to have friends. Okay? So you can set up a social network in DIGO. Now, the way that I use this in my school is that I'm on a team of 5 biology teachers. Okay? I was so tired of getting emails from them with, hey, here's this great link I found. You guys get that? Okay. You know what's even worse? One of our teachers in biology hands out, at the beginning of a unit, a printed page of links. I'm like, how useful is that to a kid? Do they try to, hey, this isn't open, you know? So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to like make the shift. Let's get it in a format that's electronic so that the kids are going to want to click on it and go there. They don't want to type in the URL, right? So we created this group in DIGO. We're all friends with each other, right? So we can message and all those good things that a social network does. But we're also in a group together, which means that anytime we tag for the group, see, I've got private things for me, I've got some things for my kids, and I've got some stuff for the group, right? I share it with the group. In that same pop-up window, it was one of those checkboxes at the bottom. I share it with the group. And then my team gets it. Either by email, they get an email notification, or if you get too many emails, like me, you turn it off. You turn off the email notification, and then next time you look at our group's bookmarks, you'll see them. They're there. Okay? So this might be a way to sort of reduce some of the workload of all those URLs going back and forth, because you guys are probably going to be sending them out like crazy after this conference, you know? But think about setting up a group with your team, or at least finding a partner to sort of share links with. All right, here's something else. Here's this orange symbol again. What does that stand for? Hey, all right, this guy in the shirt, you know, the red shirt. Here you go. Next one. That's from my hotel. The RSS icon, you'll notice, is found, when you look at DIGO, it's found all over on your pages. For example, if I search my page for evolution news article, if I search my bookmarks for that, it will open up a web page with all of my links. Guess what's at the bottom? The RSS icon, which means that I can have my kids subscribe to the things that I'm tagging, evolution news article, only by, you know, right-clicking on the little orange thing, popping it into a Google gadget. That's there. Okay. The last way, and this is like an important way for me, and my kids have gotten pretty used to this. Instead of handing out the paper with here are the links for unit one, and if I find any new ones during the unit, forget about it because they're not on the paper. This is how we do it. This is just a little shot. This box down here is a shot from my wiki. This is called a link roll. This is probably something you'll want to know about. The link roll is you making a little bit of code that you can paste in a website, you can paste it in the wiki, and it shows all of the things based on the tags you specify. Okay? So these are my tags for the evolution unit. I've got an article by Carl Zimmer called from the magazine called Seed. I've got this website called Encyclopedia of Life. I've got this little interactive called What Did T-Rex Taste Like? Okay. All of those things get rolled out to my wiki automatically. So this is another thing. When I'm teaching teachers like to start a wiki, they're like, oh my God, I can't manage my wiki. But guess what? I'm not adding these things myself. Who's doing it? RSS is doing it. All I do is I'm browsing. I'm reading the news like I always do it. But when I bookmark and I put in a particular tag sequence, guess what? It populates to this list on my wiki automatically, and I never have to change anything. That's what's so powerful, and that's what's such a big time saver, I think.
Does it check dead links?
What's that?
Does it check dead links?
Does it check dead links? That's a good question, and I don't know the answer. I've never run into any dead links with this yet. But I've only been using it, you know, I've only been using it for like, I've been using Delicious for like the last 2 years, and now recently I've rolled all of those Delicious links into here. I haven't found any yet. And that's a good question. I don't know, but I bet you could find out by looking at the Digo forums and type in dead links. My guess would be yes, because remember, it's a social community, and you're probably not the only person who tagged this, but I don't know how it would handle it. I don't know if it would automatically suck it out of your bookmarks if it went dead. I'm not sure about that. All right, I'm gonna skip past this. Pardon me a little bit. Anybody have another question while I'm sort of navigating ahead here?
So once you download the Digo toolbar, you need to sign up for that Digo account, something that's gonna hold all this stuff online.
Yep. Okay. So you gotta, if you wanna read the news using Google, you gotta have an iGoogle account. You don't have to use them all, right? I'm just showing you the package. This is how I deal with news. You sign up for Digo. Make sure you load the Digo toolbar on whatever browser you use it. Okay, and then you can bookmark. All your bookmarks are there. They're shared. And you can access them from any computer, right? Traditionally, bookmarks are stored on this machine. When I'm away from school, how do I access my bookmarks, right? Well, here, and you can browse, you can get into Digo just from the website. And they're all there. I kind of overlook that stuff sometimes, but let me show you this slide, because this is, like, once you get into Digo, you might be wondering, where the heck do I go? So I'm going to show you this. Maybe. Okay. So once you get into Digo, because it's social, right, you can set up a profile, and that's how my picture got there. But the place to look is in this place called My Digo Tools, okay? And it's not intuitive, right? Someone said earlier in the conference that intuitive just means familiar, okay? So if you've never done this before, you'd have no idea where to find how I roll out my links like that. So when I share my links with LinkRolls, this is how it works. I click on My Digo Tools, okay? Then this list comes up. There's lots of different ways to sort of share your information. You can export them to a blog if you want. This is also the way to import bookmarks from something you're using already. For example, if you're using Explorer and you have all your bookmarks stored on your machine, you can export those as a file and then choose this import option to suck them all into Digo. Okay. So that's in My Tools, Import Bookmarks. Okay. The thing that I was showing you before, putting out the link rolls, that's called Enhanced Link Rolls. That's right up there at the top. And this is what it looks like. When you go in to do the Enhanced Link Rolls, it says, okay, what do you want it to look like? And you've got limitations on how to customize it. So you can type in a title. I call these environmental links. You can decide which tags you want to be part of this link role. all right? So remember, tags are important. I don't want all of my links appearing to my environmental science students. I only want the ones that are relevant to them. They don't need to see that T-Rex thing that I show my bio class, right? So I restrict it by putting in tag attributes here. So environmental article is all I want to appear. If you click retrieve, it will automatically go in and show you which ones you've got. It'll say these and 20 more maybe, if you've got that many. And as you change here, guess what? It changes over here, so you can see what it'll look like. You can decide how many to show. And then, here's the important thing, because I don't know how to code at all except for an HTML. If you don't know what that is, it's no big deal. It means that I'm not a programmer. But what it does is it generates this code. And that's all this stuff right down here. And all I do is I select it, I copy it, and then I paste it. Paste it in my website, paste it on a wiki, wherever. You just paste it in there, and this box that's on the right shows up. Okay, so this is just showing, like, anybody use Wiki Spaces? Anybody gonna start? Cool. In Wiki Spaces, when you edit a page, you've got this TV looking thingy, okay? The TV allows you to embed the code. That's the place where the code goes. So I just click the TV, click other HTML, it opens up this box, I paste it here. And this is what it looks like in my actual wiki for my environmental science class. This is the actual link role. And you can see you can embed other stuff, like this is a YouTube video. It works the same way. Just copy the code out of YouTube, paste it in the wiki. So now, whenever I see an environmental article, like this morning my friend back in the US sent me a link by email, which I don't enjoy, but he sent me this link. He's like, I think you'll like this picture. So I click on it, and it goes to this thing called Planet Art. And it's a great picture of a woman with a shopping basket full of plastic cups and plastic plates, right, for a picnic, obviously, right? So I'm thinking, that's something I want my environmental science students to see and comment on our wiki. So I just click the little bookmark thing twice, window popped up, wrote in there what I wanted them to do, tagged it appropriately, clicked bookmark this, and it appears in my wiki at the top of the list, okay, that link. I never ever have to deal with that code again that I made, unless I want to change the tagging rules, right? So it's a one-time thing. Now, for how many of you are you feeling like this is more work than you can handle to set up right now? Be honest. Okay, that's cool. All right, you can take a piece of it, you can take none of it, right? You don't have to do it all the way I'm doing it. I just wanted to tell you today how I deal with the information, because I'm busy, right? We're all busy. And we've got exabytes of information coming at us, and it's only gonna get bigger. And how are we gonna deal with it? Well, we leverage the tools, and the kids will figure it out. If you don't remember everything I said today and you wanna roll it out with your class, just tell them to go to iGoogle and play. They'll figure it out, and they'll teach you how to use it. Have them make Vigo accounts. They'll teach you how to use it, and they'll fill your bookmarks for you. You'll never have to bookmark a thing again. They'll find it and share it with you. That's a different way of thinking, right? Usually it's us giving them the information. Well, this is a really powerful way to do it. So thanks for being a good audience. I'm sorry about the kind of rushed tenseness from the early AV problems, but thanks for listening, and I'm happy to hang around and talk to anybody for a little bit. Okay? Cheers. Good luck.
This and all Learning 2.08 podcasts are released under a Creative Commons 3.0 share alike license. To learn more about the Learning 2.08 conference, visit our website at learning2cn.ning.com.